Thompson. On the show today, we're talking to the fabulous Joe Simon from the Starship Foundation and find out how you, our listeners, can support them. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday if you're listening live here on Planet FM. Can you believe it is July? Soon we'll be thinking about Christmas shopping. Oh my goodness. And if you're down in the South Island today, embracing yourself for that wild weather, hope you're hanging in. If you, of course, are listening to our podcast, you might be listening in summer and none of this makes any sense. But thanks for tuning in. Of course, you can download our podcasts from all your favourite podcast sites, Apple and Samsung, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and find us on YouTube. Now, this week, I'm absolutely delighted to take a little bit of a sidestep from our usual investment conversation, but it's still going to talk about investment. It's the investment you, our listeners, can make towards the Starship Foundation, as I'm delighted to welcome Joe Simon, who is the CEO. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Stephen. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here and really appreciate you giving up your busy time to join us on a Monday afternoon. I want you to take us back a little bit before we sort of talk about Starship. What's been your career journey that led to becoming CEO of this very well-known hospital in Auckland?
Thanks, Stephen. Well, so my background is actually corporate. So I have a long background in professional services. I worked in the legal profession for nearly 15 years in COO and CE roles, as well as working in marketing and business development in those organisations. Very focused on strategy, very focused on leading organisations through change. So,
wow.
Yeah, so okay. It's been quite exciting.
So was there a defining moment that drew you towards this sort of work?
Absolutely. When I was with one of the organisations, DLA Piper, Starship Foundation was our pro bono client. And so I had an interface with them and saw the great work that they did. But also I'm a mum. And I have two grown-up sons now, but I had times at Starship when my kids needed to be there. And so I had a sense from both sides of the fence what Starship did.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of skills or experiences do you think from your earlier part of the career have you now pulled across into this role and found most valuable?
Look, absolutely having an eye on structure and strategy has been a real focus. So putting in place a direction for us to go as a foundation and really focused on making sure we've got the right capability, the right people on board, focused on ensuring that our brand is really well understood. And obviously, we're focused on revenue and revenue streams. So bringing a little bit of structure around all of those key areas.
Very much a business management role.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look, you just mentioned you're a mum and you've had your interaction with Starship. I think so many parents like us have had that experience before where we know what Starship is because we've used it. But for those that may not know, I guess what is Starship Foundation and what role does it play in supporting Starship Hospital here in Auckland? But its services much wider than Auckland, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, look, Starship Foundation is an independent registered charity, and our purpose is to fundraise and support Starship Children's Hospital, which is the National Children's Hospital. So we are very focused on ensuring that we're supporting the hospital and the wider Starship community and making sure that that work that we do is also flows on to hospitals around the country where we have Starship representation.
Okay. Are there other children's hospitals in New Zealand?
Not children's hospitals, children's wards.
Right.
For sure, yes.
And that's where you're feeding into.
Yes, yeah. And we have clinicians that will go and work alongside clinicians in those regions.
Right.
Yeah.
So give us the sense of scale here. How many children and families are impacted by Starship each year?
Sure. So, look, around about 150,000 children go through Starship each year.
Wow.
So, and that can be for any range of things. It could be for injuries. It can be for, common childhood illnesses, but through to the really seriously ill children. And so those are kids going through the hospital, but we also fund and support the Starship Air Ambulance, and the Air Ambulance brings children from across the country to Starship, the really, again, really seriously ill and injured children. And that Air Ambulance flies every 48 hours.
Wow.
So it's bringing kids from all over the place. In terms of scale, the Starship Foundation generated about $25 million in money or revenue for the Starship Hospital last year. And that is given to the hospital through a granting process. And so those grants fund projects. And so we funded over 220 projects within Starship last year.
Wow. We'll unpack those as the show goes on. That's some pretty high numbers. And when you add in an air ambulance into the mix, I can only imagine the costs of that. Before we sort of unpack that journey, what do you personally love about this role and leading the Starship Foundation? I imagine it's very rewarding, but also because there's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders.
Yes, absolutely. Look, I guess what I really think without a question, without a doubt, is the impact that we make. Every day we see that, and that impact is seen through the clinical staff and the nursing staff, and I see what our funding brings to the work that they do. That gives me a real reward. It also, when I see the outcomes, positive outcomes for families and the bravery that families face, it's really humbling. It brings you back to reality. It's also, it's really exciting when you see a project come to fruition. So we've had a couple of really big projects over the last few years. We funded a project called PICU, which is the Pediatric Intensive Care Unit. That unit really needed a lift in funding. It was 10 beds for the whole of the country. It's the only dedicated pediatric intensive care unit. And so we were tasked with raising $23 million alongside almost like a match funding from government to increase the capacity of PICU. And so we've done that, and it's been a massive transformation within the hospital, and that's really exciting.
Is there a particular, I guess, story or moment or family experience that's really stuck with you over this job that kind of helps motivate you?
Look, there are many families. I wouldn't want to single out or talk specifically about a family. There is, I can think of a number, but one in particular, one young man who has been in PICU from the time he was in PICU, but in the hospital from the time he was born. He's now about 23 or 24, has had numerous operations, numerous treatments, he's getting on with his life. He's not without his struggles, but he's an incredible young man, and his bravery and what he's prepared to do with his life and what he does for others is really inspiring.
What gets you through the toughest days?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think it is the team around me. We have a very passionate team who just really believe in the cause, and so working with my team at the foundation is amazing, but also working with the directors and clinicians at the hospital and the nursing staff also brings you a lot when you see what they are going through at the front line.
But they must see the value right back at you as well. They must really value what you and your team bring to this.
Yes, they do. They really do. And we have a very close relationship with many of them who share the impact stories and share what difference we are making to the work that they're doing. So they're very grateful, very humble.
Nice. From your perspective, what are the biggest challenges facing Starship Hospital right now?
Well, I guess it is funding. Yeah. It's like the whole of the health system. You know, there's never enough money to go around. And so there's always a gap. And that gap means there's, you know, a need for an organisation like us to step in and try and bridge that gap. The government funds what needs to be done. You know, they keep to keep the hospitals operating. But there's not enough money to support the innovation, the research, the things that speed things up or can, you know, be really revolutionary. There are a lot of advanced medicines on the world stage which we don't have access to in New Zealand. And so those are some of the challenges that the hospital face. And so those are some of the challenges that we're trying to work with them to solve.
I was curious, and I'm not sure if you know this answer, but where do we stack up internationally? Are other countries supporting their medical world better than we do, or is it very similar? Like, are there organisations like yours, say, for example, in the Melbourne Children's Hospital?
Yes, there is. Yeah. Yes, there are. And look, it differs across different countries. If you look at Canada, you look at the UK, you look at Australia, they're publicly funded health systems that also have philanthropy. So the saying is that philanthropy in New Zealand isn't as advanced as it is in those countries. It's a it's an evolving and developing industry here. If you looked at the US, where it's very much a private system, there's a lot of dependency on philanthropy, and it's done very well. So I think for New Zealand, we do quite well in terms of the size of our population. But from a philanthropic perspective, I think there's a lot more opportunity that we could be utilising.
Okay. Yeah. Are there demand levels or complexity of care or funding gaps changing that are concerning you at the moment?
The sort of areas that we are being asked to fund a lot more are around different roles, so specialist roles around research, clinical research in particular, some technology. And so in the past, a lot of the funding that we did was equipment, but there are these roles that are not being government funded. So that's a real change that we are seeing.
What would be at risk if your extra funding wasn't there? As you said, the government sort of supplying the core service, you just mentioned technology, extra drugs. Like, is the risk that a patient isn't going to get the care they need?
Look, I think they will always endeavour to give them the care that they need. It just means that some things they don't get. As an example, we have recently been funding an oncology project. And as part of that oncology project, there is a stream of treatment called advanced cell and gene therapies. Now, those therapies are being used all around the world. They're really revolutionary and they are proven. They are making a difference for certain types of cancer. And we don't have access to that in New Zealand for our children. And so with certain children, if they, you know, they've been through the treatment here, cancer treatment here, and they need a more advanced form of treatment, they're sent to other countries.
Right.
So, and that's at a real cost to their families personally, just in terms of not everybody can go overseas.
Let alone mentally and physically and emotionally, yeah.
Absolutely. So, those are the sorts of things that our children are missing out on, because we just, you know, they will get treatment for cancer here, but those really modern advanced treatments are not always here.
So when someone donates, and we'll talk about how they can do that shortly, when somebody donates, can you give us some examples? You've just mentioned a few of tangible ways of where their money goes. So, for example, do you find that X percentage goes on equipment, X on research? Is there family support services? Where do you see that money being spread?
It's, it is across the board. We look at impact in three key areas. So we look at clinical care, which includes equipment. It includes, training for clinicians and doctors and for nurses. Probably around about 55% of our revenue goes to clinical care and whatever sits under that bucket. We fund research, and so at the moment it's probably around about 12 to 15% of our funding goes to research, and that research can be things like specialist fellows who might have a particular subject that they're focused on. It could be a particular research project that somebody is working on to improve a particular area of treatment. And so there's research, and then there's what we call the patient experience. So what programs can be done within the hospital that make the patient journey better for the whānau, better for the child, and, you know, brings also an element of well-being and education for the nursing staff in particular who are stewarding those families through the hospital.
Can you give us an example of that, of a patient experience that your funding has helped?
Yes, there is. There's one called Ringa Artify, and Ringa Artify is, if you imagine a hand, five fingers, it's about wrapping support around a whānau, and within the Ringa Artify there will be a specialist psychologist, a social worker, there may be somebody with language skills. Can't just off the top of my head remember the other two, but the whole thing is that it's initially Ringa Artify was designed for Maori and Pacifica families going through and helping them navigate the hospital, but it's wider. It's any family, and it's just supporting them alongside the medical and sort of scientific care that they get. So it's very much, all I can describe it is it wraps around them, depending on what their needs are.
Yeah, that's lovely. When you think of those three areas, clinical research and patient experience, is there a particular project that at the moment that you're kind of really excited about putting the funds into?
So as I said, we are coming to the end of the funding around the oncology project, which has been a project of about $6.5 million. And so that we're rounding that off, and that's coming to fruition. We have other projects coming on stream. One of them in the next couple of months we'll be launching, which is NICU. That's the neonatal intensive care unit. And so we are looking at doing a refurbishment of the NICU project. And that's a project that's around about $3.5 million. So we will be looking for funding for that. So that's picking that out. There are numerous projects on the go that we already fund and are looking for funding, but not to that kind of magnitude.
All right. So our listeners now have hopefully got a good sense of the amazing work, not only that Starship does, but that the foundation does in order to make all this happen. So, all our fabulous listeners and business leaders, this is how you can help, and it can be at a business level or even individual. So let's unpack this slowly. If someone listening does want to help, what are just some of the different ways that they can get involved?
Well, there are many ways, actually. So if you are a business, we have businesses who partner with us, and that is at varying levels. You can come in at at around about a $10,000 level, and you get certain benefits or access to certain projects that we're working on, through to $50,000 partnerships and five-star partnerships. The five-star partnerships are partnerships that have been with us for, 20-something years, the likes of Barfoot & Thompson or Mercury Energy. Those organisations pay us a partnership fee, but they also rally up their troops to get involved in fundraising, whether it's, running marathons or participating in quiz nights, whatever it is, they get involved. So that's the corporate side of things. We have numerous community events that we run. So earlier this year we ran an event called Kilometres for Kids, and that's an opportunity for people across the country, families, whānau, schools, to get moving and to get sponsorship to ride, cycle, swim, whatever, to raise funds for the Starship Foundation. We do something which we've just closed off for this year called the Big Bake Off, where people can bake and compete against each other to raise money. Then people can do their own fundraising. If you want to go and climb Mount Kilimanjaro because that's a personal objective, but you want to raise money for charity, then you can get your friends and family to help you do that. So we get a lot of really amazing people out there in the community doing their own thing.
And do you have people or tools that can help set that up so people can safely fundraise? Like, we live in this world of give a little and boosted and things like that.
We do. We have a team that run that. They can help individuals set up a Raiserly fundraising page. They get various collateral and material that they might need to promote themselves. The other ways in which we have people fundraising for us is through regular giving. So some people might, but some people may do payroll giving through their own organisations. Some people may just, dedicate a budget each month and just set that to go into the Starship account. We do campaigns. We run a Christmas campaign. We run a tax campaign where people are given opportunities through direct marketing or through any kind of media channel to donate to us. So there are, all kinds of opportunities through to if you haven't got the ready cash, and a lot of people don't, and times are tough as well, we do have a program of what we call gifts and wills, and there's an encouragement. It's done a lot overseas and not done quite so much here, but there's a real kind of encouragement to say to people, well, look, if you put a small percentage of your will towards a charity, it makes a big difference. And so we just say, look, even if you said you were going to put 1% of your estate into a charity, it means your family and friends are looked after, but it also helps with charity. So we're very focused on
a lovely way to give back. If you've been impacted at some point by Starship, what a beautiful way to give back.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's incredible the range of gift sizes we get. Nothing is too small, nothing is too big. People do what is relative to their situation. So yes, there are many ways. We do have family foundations and trusts that also give on a regular basis, and there are a lot of community trusts out there that will fund different projects that we will apply to them for funding. So there are many ways in which people can donate.
Nice. Yeah. A couple here I want to unpack. So you mentioned the payroll giving, because that tweaked my interest is a potentially a very easy way. We've all got used to KiwiSaver disappearing out of our accounts. Is it very similar that you set something up and it's whatever percentage, or is it a, can it be a fixed amount if you want to say, look, every payday I want to give $20?
You can do either.
Great.
It's either.
And do you set that up with your actual payroll HR team?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Okay.
And so a lot of organisations will have, if they're, you know, if they're not necessarily a partner of ours, they will have a list of charities that you as an employee can donate to. And certainly that was my experience when I worked in the corporate field. We, you know, you were given an opportunity to set that and choose a charity of your choice. So it is
great.
A great way of doing it. And it is that whole thing. Again, you just do what is affordable for you, and then you just let it just roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What event is next in the Community Horizon coming up? What's your next event?
Okay. So we're just on the back of a major event, which I have to just give you a little bit of an insight into, because that has been a fabulous event called the Star Gala, which was around raising funding for this oncology project. So that will happen again in 2 years' time. We have coming up, you know, we're participating in community events again, like the Barfoot and Thompson marathon, Auckland Marathon. But our big ones for the next half of the year are our Christmas campaign. And so we do Christmas across the board. So that will go out through multimedia channels, but it also goes out through the hospitals. We get very involved in the hospitals. We have a lot of donors such as Zuru who will donate toys, and so there's a big community effort to bag up toys and make a real fun thing of it at the hospital centres there. The hospital is decorated by Mercury Energy. The nursing staff get involved. So even as you said earlier, I mean, it's almost Christmas. We're, you know, we've got it all,
yeah,
you know,
planned out.
And in the making. So we're coming to the end of our winter campaign, where again we have been out there just talking about how hard winter is for families. We get a lot of illness in the hospital at this time of year, as you can imagine. So so that's the latter half of this year.
You mentioned before about companies can run their own events, quiz nights, etc. And, you know, I would encourage anyone just to think about what have we got coming up in the next 6 months that we could add a fundraising arm to. What makes a really good partnership or supporter really stand out? We have a lot of listeners that are business owners. So tell them, what would a partnership look like?
I guess that first and foremost, it's about alignment of values and alignment with the cause. So really believing and being passionate about wanting better outcomes for New Zealand children in terms of their health. So that really is our first and foremost. And then I guess what is a partnership is us working with them to help them deliver what they need from a partnership. So recently we worked with an organisation called Bambi Mini, and they were part of, they're aligned to the Chemist Warehouse, and they spent, I think, a month promoting socks for children, and they were sold through Chemist Warehouse, and every pair of socks sold went to the proceeds went to the foundation, on to the hospital, and we worked really collaboratively with them on their promotional materials, their messaging, their media, their you know, helping them get the message out to the customers of Chemist Warehouse. So, so those sorts of partnerships work really well. The long-term partnerships that we have staff who dedicate a lot of their time to making sure that those major corporates are really well looked after. For some of our major partners, again, who have been with us for a long time, they find that their net promoter score with their customers and their staff goes up by being aligned to a charity that, you know, meets their staff and their clients' values.
Yeah, their own company values. Excellent. When you talked before about those that perhaps struggle to find some spare dollars, do you also look for volunteers for events, or do you encourage people to sort of reach out to their work and try and volunteer by setting up something like this?
It's we have a mix. We do have a number of volunteers, so we run various programs. Again, because we're supporting a children's hospital, we can't just have volunteers in and around the hospital all the time, because you've got sick children and so they have to be protected. But we run all kinds of things. So one of the projects that we run every month is a Barfoot and Thompson, the Magic of Reading programs, whereby every child that goes through the hospital gets a book, and those books are stickered with a message from Barfoot and Thompson, and a lot of volunteers from Barfoot and Thompson come in and work with our team to get those books stickered up. I talked about Christmas earlier. We have a huge number of people who come and help for Christmas. We've got a group of grannies who come in, and they organise a lot of the Christmas side of things. We have a lot of volunteers that will collectively get together in the community, and they there are knitting nannas, and they knit blankets for babies. We use volunteers depending on what the project is. So, there is a bit of a mix, but it's not like we have an army of volunteers because we have to manage it very quickly.
It is a restricted site. Absolutely. Tell me about your team. How many are involved in your foundation team on a day-to-day basis?
So we are a team of about 30 people.
Wow.
Yes, and we have a range of fundraisers in that team of 30. And the fundraisers that we have very differing skills. So we work to what we call a donor triangle. And the donor triangle, or the donor pyramid, is made up of fundraisers and revenue streams focusing on different areas. So we have a team of very expert digital marketers. They're almost like data scientists. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that are running our digital direct marketing programs, our campaigns that you'll see on billboards or through social media and so on. And they're constantly analysing the data and constantly tweaking it and making sure that that's really effective. And so, they are very expert. They sit that in that regular giving, individual giving area, and they make up the bottom of the pyramid. They're vital to just our ongoing funding. And so then we have relationship fundraisers who are very much focused on individual relationships, whether it's a bit it's business to business. So when we're looking at corporates, they will be building relationships with marketing teams or CEOs and ensuring that our proposition is carefully communicated to them, and that they just can anticipate the needs of those corporates and also trusts and foundations. And then as you go sort of further up the pyramid, we have philanthropy managers whose role are very much to work alongside high net worth families or individuals, and they establish long-term genuine relationships with them. And then at the very top of our pyramid is our gifts and wills or legacy team. And again, they work very much with both the digital marketing team, because there's a lot of material that goes out through campaigns, but they also work with the philanthropy teams to just ensure that, you know, the message around gifting and, and legacy is there. So so a lot of different specialist skills, as well as a very expert brand and communications team, and a team that engages with the hospital to ensure that when we're giving to the hospital for projects, we're also finding out if those projects are making the impact that our donors are hoping for. So, and then there's operations that go on and behind that.
That's lovely. You've got a real care for the money that comes in to make sure it is serving the purpose that you're promoting.
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier that you also support staff wellbeing through different programs.
Yes.
Can you give me an example in that space?
So we support a program at the hospital called Toi Ora. And with Toi Ora, that is administered by one of the directors of the hospital, and they run various programs for the Toi Ora is specifically for nursing staff. So it might be ensuring that International Nurses Day is acknowledged, and you know, things are done for the nurses. We have a morning of coffee and croissants and that sort of thing. So there's that, but there will also be programs around, it may be cultural awareness, or it might be some form of learning and development, or it may be around, you know, mental health and well-being. There'll be lecture series and that sort of thing. So Toi Ora is a really important part that we fund that, but we very much leave the hospital to actually administer that as to how they see it should be done. We also fund, again, this is about empowering staff. We fund quite a big education pot for the hospital, and again, that's to upskill whether it's clinicians or nursing staff or support staff, to ensure that they get those extra hours that they're required to do but not always funded to do.
There is so many valuable charities out there all doing amazing work. What do you say to somebody who is listening and going, but I already donate to XYZ, should I be splitting my money between two, or should I be giving to one so that that is more value? Where does that sort of sit in your head?
Look, I think that is very much personal choice.
Yeah.
And I think that most people probably support several charities. The people who have, you know, a very strong experience with one kind of organisation may only support that organisation because, you know, it's either saved their life or someone in their family's life, or, you know, depending on, you know, where they sit, that's been there at a very traumatic time in their life. So, so I think support the charities that you really are aligned to, that you believe in, and that you can afford to fund. Nothing is too small. So, you know, what you're doing is, by funding charities, you're investing in the future. You are helping to create a legacy. So I think do what feels good for you.
Brilliant. We're nearly out of time, so looking ahead, what are the long-term goals? Like, what would success look like over the next 5 or 10 years from all our fabulous listeners who are going to support you?
Well, it's funny you should ask. We are working with Starship Children's Hospital to develop a future vision for the year 2040. So currently there is no future vision or strategy to getting to 2040. So we've been working with the directors of the hospital and a number of stakeholders to envision what does child health look like in that time. And then if we get to 2040 and then sort of reverse engineer back, how can we achieve that through philanthropy? And so we've been working with them to create a roadmap of projects in which we can help fund get there. And those sorts of things are precision medicine. It's a big movement across the world. You know, it's an individualized medicine. How can we help fund that? How can we underpin new forms of medicine and ways of doing things with the right teams of people, making sure that they're expert and so on? How can we underpin it with AI and digital? So success looks like us funding that roadmap.
Wow. Oh, Joe, I feel like we've just scratched the surface. I could talk to you for hours. There's so much knowledge in there, but it's really important right at the end of the show. How can people find out more, jump on a website, support you, donate, etc.? Where do they head?
They can go to starshipfoundation.org.nz. There is a donate page there, and there are ways in which you can, you'll see how you can contact us as well if you would like to talk to us further.
Brilliant. And if you're interested in getting involved as a business or corporate setting, please let them know you listen to us on Property Matters, and the team will reach out to you. Thank you so much, Joe, for the amazing work that you and your team and your hospital team do.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Thanks so much. We are out of time. We will catch you next Monday on Property Matters. Drive safely home. Talk to you next week.